Hello, I'm Lina Khmoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the show today, we have a special forum on fibroids, also known as uterine leiomyoma. Uterine fibroids are the most common benign tumors found in reproductive-aged women of all races. And they may affect up to 70% of all women by menopause, according to the U.S. National Institutes of Health. The highest burden of this condition affects black women. Experts estimate that 70 to 80% of black women will have fibroids over their lifetime. Fibroids are not symptomatic to everyone, so most women do not know they have them. For more on the subject, I spoke with Rachel Ndugu, an advocate and founder of Biashara Africa in Kenya. Also part of the discussion is Professor Obimbo Moses, head of Avenue Hospital's gynecology department. And Dr. Catherine McKenzie is general manager of clinics and also joining the discussion.
Joining me now, I have Rachel Ndugu, founder of Biashara Africa. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Professor Obimbo Moses is the head of Avenue Hospital's gynecology department. Professor Obimbo, thank you for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
And finally, Dr. Catherine McKenzie is a general manager of clinics. Dr. McKenzie, please correct me with your title if I didn't say it.
No, that's okay. No, that's okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Thanks to all of you for joining us today. So today we're going to talk about fibroids. And fibroids is a problem that is prevalent among women around the world. But according to research, women of African descent, and particularly women in Africa, are very much suffering from the condition. So, Professor Obimbo, let me start with you. Help us understand fibroids. What are they and what causes them?
Yes, thank you for the question. I think fibroids is a very important and very prevalent problem amongst our African women especially, but affects all the women, and about 77% to 80% of women just before their menopause would have experience with their fibroids. So these are small tumors that occur within the muscles of the uterus, what we call the myometrium. And these small tumors can grow in size from being a sub-centimeter structure to growing as large as a pregnant state kind of a structure. So it's a very big problem that, as you correctly put it, affecting the black race more than any other population in the world.
And one of the tricky things with fibroid, if I can say that, is the fact that when women have them, they don't necessarily have symptoms, at least in the beginning.
Sure, that's correct. Yeah. So most women who present with fibroids, say about 70% of women with fibroids, only 30% of them will present with symptoms. The large population of them do not have symptoms, and we say they have what we call asymptomatic uterine fibroids, those with symptoms that include heavy menses, bleeding in between menses, pain during menstruation, sometimes pain during sex, and sometimes they develop such complications like anemia, would say they have symptomatic uterine fibroids.
Rachel, let me come to you. You have suffered from fibroids for several years now. Many women are not aware that they have it because of lack of symptoms, as we mentioned. How did you find out and how did that affect you?
Yeah, thank you for your question. I would say it took me 6 years to be diagnosed with fibroids. In my case, I had severe symptoms. But I didn't know that the severe symptoms were associated with fibroids. Neither did I suspect that I had fibroids. So even when I went to see a doctor, they treated me for anemia. And that continued, the severe symptoms like heavy bleeding, feeling fatigue most of the times, and of course, anemic throughout the year. Continued until one time I went for the usual anal checkup. Since you're about 30, please have an ultrasound to check whether you have fibroids. And I thought that was not necessary because I didn't have information about fibroids, neither did I think that I was a candidate to have fibroids. So the doctor persuaded me, and I thought, let me just do it. It doesn't hurt. And it's at that moment that I was informed that I had uterine fibroids. I had very limited information about fibroids. Even at that particular time, I still didn't know, even after knowing that I had fibroids, that the severe symptoms were actually as it started. So I visited a couple of gynecologists to discuss my condition and just to understand. And I must say, maybe there's also a perception that by the time you're seeing a gynecologist, very likely you know that the symptoms you have associated with the same. The condition I had been informed about on the other side, and I couldn't marry the two. So it continued, and whenever I saw a gynecologist, they recommended for surgery because my fibroids by then were really big. And I still felt unprepared for surgery. And fibroids being non-cancerous, I kept on wondering whether there were other treatment options or could I manage it for some time. You know, there were just all those fears. And even if I had surgery, that didn't guarantee me that they couldn't reoccur. So I just felt a bit confused. After some time, I find a gynecologist who took a whole hour to take me through what fibroids are, discussed with me, treatment options, and that's how I got to manage my severe symptoms. And here I am today, comfortably managing fibroids. I've still not removed them, but I plan to. So at that moment, I just felt like that journey was, and that struggle over years was very unnecessary. And it inspired me to help other women learn about fibroids. And
We'll talk more about that because you have now an organization and we definitely want to know more. Dr. McKenzie, let me come to you. You are a woman and you are a medical doctor. Women come up with this diagnosis, what is their first reaction? Rachel shared her experience. Do they think immediately about their reproductive health in terms of children, or is it often the lack of knowledge that you are faced with?
Yeah, so actually the first thing is the lack of knowledge, because most of the women are not aware what fibroids is. They don't even know the signs and symptoms, even the treatment options. And the ones who know about fibroids, there's a lot of meat that is attached to it. So most of the people think that the minute I have fibroids, then I cannot get children. Yeah. Then the other people who believe that fibroids, the only treatment option is surgery. So we get that a lot as outpatient doctors.
So the only option is not surgery. Professor Obimbo, what else do we have as option?
Yes, so the only option is not surgery, as rightly put, though over time, there's been some research that has been done on potential medical treatment for fibroids. As it is, we've tried to use pills, progesterone pills or combined pills, but these really have not shown any significant efficacy. We've also tried to use some gonadotropin. And in short term, they work because they shrink the fibroids. But when the medication has stopped being used, the fibroids rebound again. These medicines also have some major side effects that would result in other ill health issues for the women who are involved. So there are other options that have been coming up recently, like what you call uterine artery embolization, where you target the blood supply to the fibroid, particularly if you have fewer fibroids, so you target the blood supply to the fibroid, and this has the consequence of shrinking the fibroid, making them not viable and making them not grow as big as they should. So this is one of the very common procedures that's coming up currently. Surgery, though, remains the mainstay of treatment, and in surgical treatment, you either have open surgery, which you call open myomectomy, or you could have laparoscopic surgery where you do minimal access, you put tubes through the abdomen and then you are able to remove the fibroids, break them down into pieces, remove these pieces without necessarily having big incisions. So surgery still remains the mainstay of treatment, but these other options like embolization are coming up, and medical treatment with various interventions are also being in research, and hopefully we come up with some solutions in the near future.
At what point is surgery the only option? Does it depend on size or the amount of fibroids that are there? How do we decide that?
Yeah, so as I've mentioned, that for many gynecologists, especially if you have symptomatic uterine fibroids, if you have a symptomatic fibroids, you do not necessarily have to have any intervention taken. But for symptomatic ones, it means you either have infertility issues, or you have anemia, or you're having very heavy bleeding and other symptoms that are really reducing the quality of life. So when you have these symptoms, then it means you need to have surgery to remove these particular fibroids, especially if there are many in number, which is a very common thing amongst our population. But if there are few fibroids, then the potential of using few fibroids and the smaller in size, then the potential of using uterine artery embolization is really present. And many hospitals, including Avenue Healthcare, has now introduced that technique for use in patient treatment.
Rachel, you founded the Biashara Africa organization, as you mentioned earlier. What have you discovered or experienced during your journey that prompted you to start the organization?
Biashara Africa is a community of small businesses where we empower over 10,000 businesses to adopt technology and access collateral free financing. And so the bulk of our clientele are women. And so when I was faced with the fibroids challenge and struggle, I thought my women customers must be facing the same. And most of them are also within the reproductive age. And that also motivated me to start Fibroid Center, which is the fibroid awareness initiative that educates women about fibroids and connect them to gynecologists. And that's now how we got to work with Avenue Healthcare, that has been very supportive around this initiative.
So what do you hope to accomplish through your organization? Is it awareness? Do you also raise funds to help women to surgery? What do you offer?
It's a combination of both. For one, we want to create awareness. As Professor Bimbo also mentioned, and Dr. McKenzie, there's lack of information about fibroids. And so we are creating a platform where women can freely learn about fibroids and even have a more informed discussion with their gynecologists and be more in control of their reproductive health. So that's our main objective, creating awareness to all women, irrespective of their financial status. Once then they are informed about it, then we also want to give them access to affordable healthcare. In Africa and other emerging markets, healthcare is expensive and not readily available, especially specialized healthcare like for reproductive health. And so our aim is to also connect them to gynecologists and just make it more affordable. And I want to thank Avenue Hospital for offering free screening for women, because early diagnosis also gives a woman more treatment options and then more affordable treatment. So that's what we plan to accomplish, both awareness and to have women access affordable treatment.
Fantastic. And Dr. McKenzie, awareness and access to treatment is something that your clinic is offering. Avenue Hospital Kenya is running a free fibroids screening clinic currently. What prompted this initiative? Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, thank you very much. Actually, it was three partners with a common interest who came together at the right time. That's what I'd say, because one of them is Rachel and her organization, Biashara Africa. And of course, being the founder of Fibroids Center, because of what she went through and increasing awareness to the over 10,000 women that she's been working with, she was able to connect them through another person who is Old Mutual, which is a private insurance company. And then Old Mutual now came to us as Avenue Healthcare. And Avenue Healthcare is under a group of hospitals, which is managed by Evercare Group. So over and above Avenue Healthcare, we have Evercare Group that has 32 hospitals around 5 countries. Yeah. It has 82 diagnostic centers and 16 clinics. So the Evercare Group has a foundation. So this foundation, through its CSR arm, deals mainly with women and children's health. Yeah. So that foundation is key when it comes to issues of women, and fibroids being one of the issues, it just came in at the right time for us. And of course, we immediately ran with this because the foundation's mission is to provide high quality care that is affordable to all. Yeah.
So what does the campaign entail, and how many women are expected to be reached? What has the response been so far?
Yeah, so the campaign actually entails three things. So first of all, it's just what Rachel is doing, increasing awareness and providing education to the public about what actually fibroids is, what are the signs and symptoms, and what are the treatment options that we have. And the other thing is, of course, screening the women who have the signs and symptoms of fibroids. So we are providing ultrasound, pelvic ultrasound scans to over 100 women every month. Yeah. Then thirdly is, of course, providing the treatment to women who end up having the fibroids. So the reach has been through social media platforms. And I am glad that we have Old Mutual that has really advertised this initiative through their social media platforms as well. And we've been able to reach quite a number of people. We've seen people booking through the online platforms in Avenue websites and the live webinars that we've had, and the Facebook live webinars have really seen many patients coming through and booking. So it's worked very well for the three organizations.
Yeah. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Professor Moses Obimbo, when you look at the landscape now, and awareness clearly, as all of you mentioned, is one of the major issues, what do you say will be the pressing needs or the priorities moving forward as Africa tackles fibroids among women?
Yes, thank you very much. I think this question very important, especially at the policy level, where we need information, because key to good health is the right information and empowerment of our women and generally the population to know. Because as much as we'd say the fibroid would affect a woman, when a woman is affected, it's the whole population that's affected, because it means the family is unhappy. The spouse is unhappy with that effect. The country is also losing quite a bit of money on healthcare and losing quite significant amount of man health working hours. So I see a policy in which we get women to learn more about issues that are potentially going to be preventive, and early screening to be able to get and treat fibroids before they become very symptomatic. You know, they can get to a point where a woman is actually admitted in the hospital for severe anemia. So this can actually be prevented. And I think through what Avenue is doing, by providing this screening and awareness, it will help many women get to learn about fibroids and the community to also learn about it. And then we'd have what you call a community approach towards prevention and care of those who are affected with fibroids in every way.
Okay, we're going to wrap soon, but before we wrap, I wanted to go with each of you and get sort of a final message. So Rachel, your organization, as it has been mentioned, is involved, is a partner with this campaign. What do you hope to accomplish, and what is your message?
Yeah, so our main goal is to provide reliable information about fibroids to especially African women, because Black women are more predisposed to having fibroids. So we would like every African woman of reproductive age to just have access to information and to learn about fibroids and take control. We'd also like to keep building awareness to encourage early screening so that the cost of healthcare around fibroids is also more affordable. And then we definitely want to have a healthy society. When a woman is healthy, the entire family is happy, and the entire community and the country. So I would say that's our main objective. So for that, they can access information about fibroids. They need to visit our website, fibroids.center, C-E-N-T-E-R, and they will learn about fibroids. And then we have key partners that are really supporting the initiative, starting with Avenue Healthcare, and just making also healthcare affordable and accessible. So we are very grateful. And Old Mutual supporting and building our capacity around awareness creation. Yeah, so we are very optimistic that we'll achieve our goal. Thank you.
That's great. Dr. McKenzie, what will success look like at the end of the campaign?
So success for us is Avenue Healthcare through the Evercare Foundation, which is, of course, looking at focusing on women's and child health, is to be able to reach over 100,000 women, yeah, through awareness using the different platforms for Rachel, the Biashara Africa, and through specialized, I'd say, services coming from our gynecologist, Prof. Bimbo, who is the head of OBSGYN in Avenue Healthcare. So we want to be able to reach them through the different social media platforms. We also want them to be aware of the different treatment options that we now have available at Avenue Healthcare, what Prof. has just talked about, the uterine embolization. So it will be very key for us to ensure that people are aware of what fibroids is, what the symptoms are, and the different treatment options.
Thank you. Professor Bimbo, before I take your final message, can you tell us briefly how readily available is uterine embolization and what is the most common solution that women tend to go with?
Yes, so I said the second part, the most common solution and what is prescribed ordinarily for those with the symptomatic uterine fibroids will be surgical intervention, open myomectomy, and sometimes we also offer laparoscopic myomectomy where you do through keyhole surgery. But right now, Avenue, as a frontier of healthcare provision in this country, has introduced uterine artery embolization, is minimally accessed, and is available to patients that qualify for this kind of treatment.
What is your advice to women who have fibroids in general and to those who plan to have children but are concerned?
Yes, so for those with fibroids and not symptomatic, then they are on follow-up with their gynecologists and they can just have a normal life. But for those, of course, with symptoms, as mentioned before, and they need care, they need to have this care as soon as possible because one of the very common complications of fibroids is infertility. And so when they are treated, then they get back their fertility and they can be able to conceive. Of course, it's also been shown that women who delay with their fertility issues also at high risk of getting these fibroids. And therefore, it means there's that tough balance on when to get the babies at what time and how these high pregnancy rates helps reduce the chances of fibroid formation. But the general advice would be for those with symptoms and the desire to get children, then they need to have this treated as soon as possible.
Professor Moses Obimbo, Dr. Catherine McKenzie, and Rachel Ndungu, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
The Gambia has launched an urgent door-to-door campaign to remove cough and cold syrups from households and store shelves in the tiny West African country. The syrups are being blamed for the death of more than 60 children. Paul Ndiho has more.
Gambian President Adama Barrow promised his country would boost health measures, including better quality control over imported medicine, after the mysterious death of dozens of children. Barrow says 66 children have died in the past 3 months from acute kidney failure, with fears that imported cough syrups are to blame.
Government will leave no stone unturned to get to the bottom of this incident. I urge you, however, to be vigilant enough to ensure that all medicines sold or used are safe and effective.
The wave of death from acute kidney injury has shocked the country of 2.4 million people, with the World Health Organization issuing an alert over four cough and cold syrups made by Median Pharmaceuticals in India over possible links to the death. In the village of Sirakunda, Aliyu Kijara mourned the loss of his son, Muhammad.
So Muhammad was sick of a fever. That's how it starts. Then we went to the hospital. You know, it falls on Thursday, you know. So he was given some medications. Then we came back.
The two-year-old's death was one of the many recent child deaths in Gambia related to acute kidney injuries. The Gambian Red Cross Society, the Ministry of Health, has dispatched hundreds of young people to collect suspect syrups through a house-to-house campaign.
It is a very, very concerning moment, a very sad moment, a moment that we should have a national day of mourning, regardless of where you belong, regardless of who you are. This is all as a result of incompetence. This is all as a result of an administration that really does not just care about the welfare of its people.
The WHO issued a medical product alert for four contaminated medicines identified in the country that have been potentially linked to acute kidney injuries and the 66 child death. While the contaminated products in the Gambia have been detected, they also may have been distributed to other countries, according to the World Health Organization.
The loss of these young lives is beyond heartbreaking for their families. The four medicines are cough and cold syrups, produced by Maiden Pharmaceuticals Limited in India. WHO is conducting further investigation with the company and regulatory authorities in India.
WHO says counterfeit drugs are dead and a growing problem. With a global market roughly of $200 billion, fake drugs are the most lucrative, and Africa accounts for nearly 42% of the world cases. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
That was a special edition of Health Chat on fibroids with Rachel Ndugu, advocate and founder of Biashara Africa, Professor Obimbo Moses, head of Avenue Hospital's gynecology department, and Dr. Catherine McKenzie, general manager of clinics, all joining us from Kenya. That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linoch Mudu, in Washington with producer Mukbil Yabaro. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA. Every Saturday.